God is good. Well, saints, I am so glad you guys came out tonight. Nothing like standing in the house of God, being able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's freedom in the house. There's peace in the house. There's joy in the house. If there's something that you need tonight, come up here. He's in the house tonight, ready to deliver. He's ready to set free. He's ready to break the chains off the lives of His people. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Butch asked me if I'd stand in tonight. He had a prior engagement, and so I apologize that you have to look at me and not our pastor. You know, I appreciate everything that he does, him and Deb. You know, to travel that much, that has to be weighing on you. And so any time that we can stand in, it's a blessing, isn't it, Charles David? All right. Tonight we are going to open up the book of Job. When we talk about Job, I heard it, Jackie. Oh, poor little Job. What do we say? What do we say when we say Job? It's the patience of Job, right? We're always asking for patience. Give us the patience. But that means you got to go through something, right? In order to obtain that patience. So we know that Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible, written by Moses. We know that Job is the son of Issachar, okay? Issachar is the founder of the tribe of Issachar. So if he is the son of Issachar, does that make him the grandson of Jacob, right? So the son of Jacob, he's the fifth son of Jacob and Leah, not Jacob and Rachel. Man, we talk about our families today and we say we're dysfunctional. That might be dysfunction right here, in my opinion. So, we know that Jacob, his boys, established the 12 tribes of Judah, correct? Reuben, the oldest. So there's the tribe of Reuben. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Gad, Asher, Dan, Naphtali, Joseph, and Benjamin. So, you would think Job loves God, wouldn't you? Brought up in the ways of the Torah. Do we know Job to be a wealthy man? The Bible says that he's the finest of all men in the East, right? So he's wealthy, very wealthy. The Bible, starting, and we're going to jump around, okay? I'm not going to read this entire chapter. Have you ever felt like, man, when it rains, it storms? That the refrigerator broke, then the washing machine broke down, and then I got laid off. How am I going to pay my bills? My children need this. And you're just like, oh my gosh. What's Murphy's Law? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Can we place this probably with Job? And we sit up here, and when things come our way, we get all upset and frustrated. And Lord, why are you doing this to me, or allowing this to happen to me, or the devil's after me? We blame a lot on the devil. We blame a lot on him that we don't need to blame on him. But there's a lot that we do blame on him, and he owns it. So, verse 1 says, Job 1:1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one who feared God and eschewed evil. So Job lived in the land of Uz. Okay? Uz is probably around Edom, around Saudi Arabia. That's where he's from. And it says here that the man was perfect and upright. When we think in our Western culture, when we think of perfect, do we think of there's no flaws? I put my makeup on and my makeup is flawless. Do I wear? I don't wear makeup. That's just natural beauty there, Mike. Oh, I thought the ceiling was going to come in. So we think of perfect as being no flaws. But that's not what that means in the Hebraic, right? We know that here in this house. But for somebody on Facebook that doesn't know, perfect, listen to the definition. Complete, something that's complete. Not that it's marred or free of being marred or having any imperfections, but it's complete. It's fully grown. The Greek tells us it's teleos. That means something being in its intended function. So, a fish swimming in the water is perfect. It can have flaws, but as long as it's swimming, isn't that what God called it to do? It's perfect. My car, if I get in it and it's able to drive me wherever I need to go, it may have dents and scratches and, you know, 150,000 miles on it. Is it still perfect? It's perfect because it's doing what it's intended to do. So are you and I perfect? What is Christian's intentions? All right, Janie. What are we, the Christians, what is our intended function? Okay? To praise God. Amen. Let's break it down, though. We're going to break it down into three categories. Us, we Christians. And let me tell you, me with my OCD and all y'all sitting over here. You know that gets me, right? That's why I'm turning this way. Someone back of me over here. Okay, break it down into three. The first one being a general call, okay? Every Christian has a general call. And that general call is to live according to God's commandments, right? We're not to lie, we're not to steal, we're not to covet, we're not to do everything lined up in that Ten Commandments and then some. There's more than just Ten Commandments in the Bible, okay? But that was the starting point. So we're supposed to live according to that. I've said in here, excuse me, many times, if I were to be a physician, I've got to what? I've got to study. I've got to go to school. I've got to get my degree, correct? So that people recognize that I'm a physician and they will come to me, and if I'm a heart doctor, they're going to come to me for their heart issues. If we say we're a Christian, shouldn't we know what our manual says? Shouldn't the Bible says that we've got to study to show ourselves approved? We've got many Christians out here that saying, I'm Christian, but they don't know what this says. Okay? And God's still working on them. We're not putting anybody down. We're all on a different path. We're all at different places. And so that's not condemnation, it's just reality, okay? And if we want to understand and operate in the full power that God has for us, then we have to know what His Word says, right? Amen. Amen. So, the general call, we're going to live by the commandments. Our second one is the effectual call. That's when the Holy Spirit comes in right? And that he, how do I want to put it? That he takes those commandments and makes them effective, even unto salvation. So we know his laws, and we're operating in his laws. But remember, Christ said, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit here with you to lead and guide you. And that's where we're gaining our power in him. We can know this. We can know the laws, and we don't sin. Well, the Bible says we sin daily. But I didn't lie. I didn't murder. I didn't covet. But where's the power in us when times get tough in our lives? Do we take off and run and tuck our tail like we talked? Or is it the Holy Ghost, if we know how to tune into that, that give us the power to be able to stand when the enemy comes against us? That we don't have to fall down. We don't have to cry. We don't have to go hide in a corner somewhere. We can stand with our suit on and our armor ready to go to battle. Amen? Amen. And the third is the technical call. So we got general, effectual, and then the technical call. What is the technical call? Katrina may be called to be a teacher. Mike may be called to be an accountant. Wilma may be called to be a singer. What is your individual call outside of living his commandments? What has God called you to do? Remember, we've talked in here a million times that every one of us was born with purpose. Jeremiah 1 and 5, the way he ordained Jeremiah to be a prophet, he ordained you and I to do something, correct? And it's our responsibility to line up with his word, stay in prayer, stay in his, stay with his commandments, that we can hear from him and get into position so he can place us where he's called us. So many times, like we were saying, we want to run away from an issue because it's tough, right? We don't want to face this issue. But God's placing us there in the midst of that issue so he can prepare us for what's down the line. I could have never handled city business if I hadn't gone through some of the stuff that I had gone through in my life. It was preparing me for then. So we have to come up out of ourself of right now and understand that God's taking us on this path. He's reshaping us, remolding us in order to serve him. Remember, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. Okay, he's not going to give you a fresh anointing and you waste it because you're not willing to go down this path and allow him to perfect us. Amen? Okay, so he says he is perfect. He is upright. Meaning what? He's honest. Meaning he has high moral standards. We don't even know now when somebody's telling us the truth anymore. Right? Look at our political climate. We don't even know when people come to us and tell us the truth because we're so accustomed to our political leaders lying just to get ahead or get a win that we don't even know what's the truth anymore. Amen. Our reputations are being destroyed because, oh, it's the pressure's on and I want everybody to like me or I want to win this next election, so I'm just going to tell you what you want to hear. Instead of telling the truth. And so when somebody does get in, they go after them. Okay? We're seeing that right now in the political realm. Okay? Every day we're seeing that. Okay? So we don't even know what the truth is. Turn on the television. ABC, NBC, CBS. Social media. Whatever these news, MSNBC, whatever these news stations are. I said last Sunday, I don't even know what the truth is coming out anymore. So the only thing I can do right now is trust in God's word. Amen. There's That's the only thing that we can stand on right now and have to believe. So it's our responsibility to stay before God, let Him tell us truth, so that we can make accurate decisions going forward. Amen? Amen. Okay, so it said he feared God. So we know here at Church of the King, when we talk about fearing God, it's not, oh, I'm scared of him. He's going to get me. God's going to get you, Mike, if you don't come to church on Sunday. Isn't that how we were kind of raised, though? We learned that. And, you know, we were taught not this loving, caring God. And I'm not going to say everybody. But I grew up with God is angry God. And that if I mess up, God's going to get me. Or that's the reason I'm in this shape, because I sinned. That ain't the God you and I serve. So in this scripture, when it talks about to fear the Lord, it just means to reverence Him, to love Him, to be in awe of Him. Jackie?
I just wanted to say that a lot of times people are scared of thunder and lightning because they think that God just remembered what they did.
Yeah.
And is still trying to get me.
Absolutely. He's trying to get me. And that's not the God that we serve. That He would send His Son to die for us. That's not a God that's mean and angry, ain't right? Right. Do what? The tater cart fell on him. You know we're Appalachian when the tater cart fell on you. It goes on to say he eschewed evil, meaning he hated evil. So, really, what's evil? We don't know anymore. The Bible even said what was good is now, or what was evil is now good. That's scripture. So if we read in the Bible, God is love, so evil has to be the opposite. So the attributes of God, evil is the opposite of the attributes of God, the characteristics of God. So if God is holy, then evil has to be a curse, right? So he hated anything that was in opposition of God the Father. So, yes. And verse 2. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Man, he's got 10 kids to feed. Woo! His substance also was 7,000 sheep. Now we're getting into his assets. Okay, we said he was rich, right? 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. Do we know what that means when it says a very great household? That means a lot of servants. Okay, he had a huge staff. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So this was a man that loved God, lived according to his statutes and his laws. So if he was very wealthy, does God wants us to be wealthy, don't he?
Yes, he does.
But I thought money was the root of all evil. Do what? When we put money, but is it the love of money?
Yes.
Yes. So the love, money's good, isn't it?
Yes.
Money's very good. Listen, Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "For it is God who gives you the ability to get wealth." It didn't say God's going to give you the wealth. He's going to give you the ability to get wealth. How many times have I said in here that the welfare system is the ruination of our country?
Amen.
It's intended. Oh, let me help you, Mike. I've been there. Been on it. It's supposed to be from point A to point B, okay, to get you back on your feet. That's what it was intended for. Now it's become a way of life, and especially here in Lawrence County. And it's pushed here in Lawrence County. So, is that pleasing to God?
No.
That I sit here and I receive income in the mail? It's not, is it? Because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat, right? God doesn't want us to be, I call it a modern day slavery. We've taken people out of physical slavery, but we've thrown them into financial slavery, which is the welfare system. When we remain lethargic and just complacent, we get lazy. We're not fulfilling what God's called us to fulfill because I got to stay within the realms of what they tell me I can do. They tell me what I can spend. They tell me where I can go to the doctor. They tell me. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to be wealthy so that we can go out and be a blessing to someone else. Not to hoard it in. So those that the love of money that's rich and, you know, is not helping anybody, that's just as wrong. Okay? But He gives us the ability. Now, if I'm operating in fear, sometimes I don't exercise my ability because I'm afraid. And that was me. I was afraid to fail. Because if I failed, then I already thought I was less than. And then I just proved what I already thought. But that's not what God is saying. Amen? Proverbs 22 and 4 says, "The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life." He wants us to be rich. But look what he's saying. The reward for humility. That's where you're going to get your riches, your honor, and your life. It's through that humbled spirit in which we operate. Not that haughty spirit. Proverbs 28 and 6 says, listen to this. Better is a poor man. Remember here in the United States, we think that we're prosperous if we have a lot of money, right? And that leads a lot of stuff, and that's a lot of power. But in all reality, look at money as asphalt. Because what's he say in heaven his streets are paved with? Gold. That's how little that God thinks of money. So he says, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. He places integrity far, far above money and riches. It's how we act to one another. It's how we treat our neighbor. It's how we act. Are we going to be honest? Are we going to be upstanding like Job was? God is the opposite of what we do here in America, isn't it? Seems like. All right. Number 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. Every year, there was a season. Every year, the brothers all got together, and they began to celebrate. They called their sisters in, okay?
Like a reunion.
Like a reunion. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So just in case they did something crazy, let me go and offer a sacrifice for them. Can we really do that?
Well, we
can pray for our children, right?
Yeah.
Can you get into heaven on the coattails of your mother?
No.
Mike, can you get in off your father? So it has to be a personal relationship with him, right? Just because my mom accepted Christ, repented, and got saved, doesn't mean that I automatically got saved, right? I have to do it myself. We have to study. We have to repent. We have to do this ourselves, correct? Do what? Got to walk that lonesome valley yourself. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Amen, it's worth it. I proved that it's worth it. Trust me. Now there was a day when the sons of God come to present themselves before the Lord. Remember, there's appointed seasons. Just like they come together and their family reunion, as Jackie said, so did the sons of God. Both, these are angelic and demonic forces, okay? So these angels, both demons and angels, come before God, okay? And let's, for the sake of just talking, let's say every year they come before Him, okay? That's a season that they're in. We know from Ecclesiastes that there is a season, right? A season for everything, okay? So in Ecclesiastes 3 and 1, it says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So sometimes we get upset about things that take place, but these are things that are outlined according to God's word, okay? So God's purpose is that there is a time to be born, right? But that means there has to be a time to die. Is this our final resting place here? No. It's for us to go to heaven, right? It's not to stay here and we get all upset. We know we're attached. We get attached to one another. But the Bible says to mourn when a baby's born, but to die or to celebrate when someone dies, right? As Christians. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. So, not everything, we're not always going to be on top of the mountain, are we? Do we grow on top of the mountain? Not too much, do we? It's when we're in that valley, and that we have to, sometimes we hop up on that mountain, now all of a sudden Katrina can do it all by herself. Life's good, income's coming in, my family's all sane right now, my bills are paid, I'm going on vacation, life's good. Then we hit that valley. Now all of a sudden, oh Lord, I need you, right? Do we not do that? Yes, we do. Yes, we do, all right? But we're growing and we're getting past that because we know that we're going to be in the presence of God all the time, right? So Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 just talks about there are seasons that we have to go through. Pastor Butch always talks about that God does things in, yes. What is it, Charles David? There we go. Secular, right? So 12 o'clock, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. And we start again. It's not linear. So, let's finish. And the Lord said unto Satan, okay, Satan's there in the midst. Where have you been? So we asked him, do you think God asked him a question because he really didn't know? He sure didn't, did he, Janie? He knew. God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omnipowerful. He knows it all. But he's asking them a question. He does like to do that, doesn't he? Where are you going? Where you been? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Boy, he's busy, isn't he? He's all over the place. He's on his post. He don't play, right? He ain't waiting on somebody else to do it for him. He's out here in a busybody trying to snatch up whoever he can snatch up. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Jackie? Have you considered my servant Tom? Uh-oh. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one who fears God and eschews evil. God is telling Satan, ain't nobody like Job. He's got it all together. I trust this man. He loves me unconditionally. He keeps my commandments. Have you thought about Job? Uh-oh. Satan didn't come to him and say, can I intervene on behalf of Job? God himself said, have you considered my servant Job? Are we going to be tested at times? Isn't it through that testing that we grow? And that we go from glory to glory and to glory? There's a purpose for that testing. It's not for naught. It is for a purpose. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? And this is the way I think he's talking to God. Have you not made a hedge around him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Have you blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land? Well, of course he's going to serve you. You got a hedge of protection around him. He's got all these riches. He's all comfortable. Of course he's going to serve you. What are you going to do if you remove that hedge of protection? How's he going to act? But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. See, Satan had to get permission to affect Job. He has to get permission to affect you. Okay? And if he's affecting you, God already is trusting that you're able to go through it. Okay? He's not going to put any more on you than what you can deal with. Okay? So when those trials come your way, know that it's a good thing. Count it joy when we fall into these diver places. It's a hard one to do, isn't it? But I'm telling you, he's trusting that you can do this and you can do it. Amen? And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. It's about to get real. It's easy to praise God when we have everything, right? It's easy to praise God when we're comfortable and the finances are coming in and we don't have to worry about stuff like that, right? What happens when something happens to your income? I know. Guys, remember, I lost an $85,000 a year job. So, what do you think? I was like, how am I going to make ends meet? Because you got comfortable in a certain lifestyle. Now, what happens when that's pulled out? Right? But is God faithful? Yes, he is. Okay. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. They're back to the family reunion. They're back partying, okay? And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. Uh-oh. He's losing his finances. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell you. Boom, when it rains, it pours. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and had carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. Woo! He's been hit in the mouth. He's been hit in the gut. He's been hit from behind. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, here's the icing on the cake, Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell you. He didn't have time to go offer those sacrifices either, did he? You think that was weighing on his mind too? On top of losing them, he's lost everything. Are we willing to serve him when we lose everything? Do we trust him enough that we know that he's got our back? And no matter if it looks in the natural that we lost, can we still serve him when it looks like we're losing? Look at his loss. His oxen. Remember, he had 500 oxen. He had 500 donkeys. He had a plethora of servants. He had 7,000 sheep, 3 camels, 7 sons, 3 daughters. Very wealthy man, and he lost it all.
And all his employees.
Do what? All his servants. Gone. Him and his wife. So we know as the story goes on, Satan comes back to God. Well, let's finish this right here. What did Job do? So he's lost everything, even his children, right? Lost his finances, lost everything. Job chapter 1, do what? Job chapter 1, 20 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. That's a good man. He's trusting God even when he's lost everything. Money status in here, right? You've got power, you've got fame, you've got authority when you have money. But when you don't have money, what happens? He's lost his identity as well, hasn't he? He's lost his status in the community. He's lost it all. But he worshiped. The story goes on in the other chapters that says Satan was then allowed to touch his body. And he gets boils all over his body. And you know boils hurt and the pus that comes out of them. And he's going through it. That's right. Your mind changes a little when it affects your physical being, doesn't it? Chronic pain. Have you ever been through chronic pain? Yes. It makes you think different, doesn't it? And if you're not anchored in the Lord, you'll go do things that we shouldn't be doing, don't we? That's right. So, he curses his birth. He didn't curse God. He cursed his birth. Why was I even born? Okay? He's distraught. He's distraught. He asks why. Why is this happening to me? How many times have we been told don't ask why? Job, this honest and upright man, he's asking why. I'm asking why. Why am I going through this? Why did this have to happen to me? Right? He says, why didn't I die at my birth? Why did the knees prevent me? Do you know what that means? When the baby is born, it's given to the father and it's set on his knee. And that represents that I'm receiving you into the fold. You're my son. So he's saying, why did my father even receive me if I'm going to have to go through all of this? His wife tells him, won't you curse your God and die?
What was her name?
What was it?
She didn't have a name.
She didn't have a name, did she? Didn't even mention her name.
No.
curse your God and die. Even though she's seen him through everything else. But as soon as, everything's gone all of a sudden, curse your God and die.
And Job was looking awful bad.
He looked bad. He wasn't handsome, was he?
No.
Boils all over him and looked like, absolutely. His friends, my buddies, my pals. Have you had your friends to forsake you? What about your friends that tried to convince him that he had sinned in secret? How many times have we heard that? Oh, I got cancer. Oh, they must have sinned. They got cancer. They've sinned. That's right. That's right. That's right. So, his friends are talking about him. His wife's telling him, you need to curse your God. He's lost his children. He's lost his assets. He's lost it all. It looks like God's forsaken him, doesn't it? Where are you, Lord? Can you still worship him when it's all gone? We can't take it to heaven, can we? We can't take it to heaven. Here we go. What'd he say? Naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to leave. Right? Chapter 42, thrown all the way to the back of the chapter. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. When your friend forsook you and talked about you and told you you sinned secretly, do you want to pray for him? You want to get angry, right? That's our normal, in our flesh kind of thing. You don't want to think about that. You're mad. You're upset. You're hurting. You're hurting. That is your. These are your friends. Yes, yes. But when did Job come out of captivity, out of losing everything, out of losing his children, his assets, his health condition? When he prayed for his friends. Amen? Praying for those that come against you. Listen, Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. You, the very thing that you need to give it away. If you're looking for kindness, you got to be kind. If you're looking for joy, you got to have joy. Express joy. If you're looking for peace, help somebody else find their peace. Amen? What did Job do? He worshiped. Now, listen what John 4:24 says, that we must worship God in spirit and in truth. We're a spirit being, and we got to worship Him in spirit and worship Him in truth. Boy, I tell you, living in the times we live, truth is hard to find.
Amen.
Truth is hard to find. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. That's the least we can do for what our Savior did for us on the cross, is to go through those tests and trials. It's our reasonable service. And John 4:23, but the hour is coming, and now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Are you the true worshipers tonight? Are you worshiping Him in spirit and in truth? When times get tough, and they're tough out here right now, look, our political climate is a shamble. These parties are not the parties that originally were created. They've lost their minds. We've walked away from who we are. We've got Joe Biden on here compelling to Muslims. So we got parties out here saying we're a post-Christian nation. I mean, we're all over the place. This country was founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs. And that's why we are who we are and as powerful as we are, the United States, because that we put our trust in God. Saints, I encourage you. I'm talking to myself as well. When we worship Him, when we get before Him, there is nothing out these four walls that can affect us. God will take what the devil meant for bad, turn it around for our good, and then He will place us in a position where the world can be able to see, look what I did, that He may receive the glory and not us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You, God, for Job and that he was committed to You and that he began to worship. And Father, I compel to our saints that they go in and to worship. When times get tough, when the enemy comes in like a flood, we know, God, You're going to raise up a standard. And we just thank You this evening, God. We will worship You in spirit and in truth. Now go with us as we leave this place, dear Heavenly Father. Give us a boldness that we will stand up for truth and stand up for Your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.